Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to read verse 29, if you'll follow with me. John chapter 10, verse 29. Jesus said here, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I want to take a subject from verse 29, and I want to preach in the context of this passage of Scripture tonight. My subject is, my Father is greater than all. I've often noticed how that little boys will be real proud of their dads. And I've heard them say, "My Father's the greatest." And they ought to feel that way. It's good that they can see that, and it's good that they can feel that way. But here's a statement that Jesus made. And Jesus said, "My Father is greater than all." Amen. Now, I know we could talk, and there's many things that we could discuss about his greatness. You go all the way back to creation. You could talk about the flood. You could talk about Mount Sinai, even the very presence of God. You could talk about the tabernacle, the temple, the Shekinah glory that filled the temple and the tabernacle. You could talk about the many marvelous things that God gloriously has done. We could even talk about the great things that God is even doing. And we've even heard about the great things that God is yet to do. But I want to, Lord be my helper, I want to stay in the context of this passage of Scripture. When Jesus said here, "My Father is greater than all." Now, Jesus had spoken a parable to them, and he gave it to us in the first five verses. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now Jesus spoke this parable, but they did not understand him. They did not understand what he was talking about. So then he begins to explain some things to them pertaining to this parable. One of the things he says that as shepherd, he is the door. Verse 7 and 9 through 9 says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." And he makes it very clear. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pastor. But he goes on and he not only tells them as shepherd he is the door, but he goes on and he tells them that he is the good shepherd. And what he begins to explain to them is there is a difference between the good shepherd and a hireling. For in verse 11 through 13, he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. So he explains the difference between the good shepherd and a hireling. But he also goes on and he explains to them the knowledge or the notice the knowledge of the good shepherd that he has pertaining to the sheep. Look in verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He goes on and explains to them that there's only one sheepfold. Because he says in verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. But then he begins to talk about the great power that the good shepherd has in verse 17 and 18 when he says, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. But he goes on and he explains about sheep. Now here's what he, first of all, and I'll show you this. He says, he refers to as sheep. They're sheep. And then he puts an attachment to it. He says, my sheep. And then he says, other sheep. But they're all sheep. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When he gets down to my sheep and other sheep, same sheep. They're all sheep. In verse 14, he refers to them as my sheep. And in verse 16, he says there are other sheep, what he's just talking about, that there are not only Jews that are sheep, but there's Gentiles that are sheep. Now I want you to think of what I'm going to say in the context. They're all sheep. And only sheep are lost. Only sheep are lost. Because you remember what was said? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Nobody else. And I want you to know that all sheep are lost. And I want you to know also the context of the scripture that only sheep are called. And I want you to know in the context of this scripture that only sheep believe. And I want you to know, in the context of this scripture, that only sheep are saved.
Amen.
We don't have no trouble with what we believe, do we? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He has not lost, and there's not any of them that He's lost. And what Jesus went on explained is that a lot of people don't know and don't want to know is that every person is not a sheep. And He said it right here in verse 25. Jesus said this in verse 25 and 26. Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believed not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you.
Amen.
But how thankful we are that there is a good shepherd, and the good shepherd has sheep. And how thankful that we are tonight that we can even lay claim by being saved by the grace of God and knowing that we are sheep.
Amen.
But now, what I want us to really get into tonight is when Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. I couldn't help but think as the Lord has led through the preaching in this conference and every time that each would preach, and I thought, and every time I was so thankful when somebody touched on what I was going to preach. I was so thankful. And I thought in my heart that everything that's been preached here is because that my Father is greater than all. Because that my Father is greater than all. There are some things that I want us to think about. Why that my Father, and Jesus said this, why that my Father is greater than all. First of all, because of choosing. This has been used, and I'm glad. Brother, I don't ever... If somebody wants to preach my sermon, I hope they do.
Amen.
You know what I mean? It makes me feel good. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, I believe that this reveals the greatness of God. I believe it reveals that my Father is greater than all. Nobody else could do this. I couldn't have even thought of it. I can't hardly think to go back to the car sometimes. Let alone this. But we see because of choosing, and if you'll notice here in this, and to show you that my Father is greater than all, it says in this fourth verse, according as He, now that's my Father. That's God. According as God hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The author of the choice is God. It is from the Greek word meaning to choose out or to select. It denotes to choose out with the accessory idea of kindness and favor. It is like these two scriptures, Mark 13:20, when it says, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom He hath chosen, He hath shortened the days. In John 13:18, it says, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. And brethren, my Father is greater than all because of choosing.
Amen.
It means to make a selection or choice with the idea of favor or love and with a view to impart important benefits on those whom he chose. That's what my father had in mind. And you think, well, choosing is a great thing. But to choose with an idea or with in mind of doing that which is good toward those that are chosen and bringing all of the spiritual benefits that they'll ever need and bringing them right into eternity. Amen. Denotes and shows that my Father is greater than all. Brethren, this is the first blessing of grace. This is the foundation one. All of the rest of the blessings of grace proceed from the first blessing of grace, and that is that our Father chooses. God the Father, and I want to say my Father, chooses. It is according to His knowledge. It is an act of His grace. The act is entirely sovereign. He didn't ask me. He didn't ask you. He didn't need any help. The act is entirely sovereign. But what we must understand and realize is that this choice is made in Christ. I believe people say, sometimes it's not fair. Well, if you're choosing between Brother Henderson and Brother Titus on the basis of them, those two, it wouldn't be fair. But it was in Christ. It was in Christ. The choice was in Christ. It wasn't in us. It was in Him. It was in Christ. The persons chosen are chosen in Him. The choice was with reference to the means of saving them. It was a purpose that they should be saved by Him. And the whole choice and purpose of salvation had reference to Christ. All that Christ was going to do. And all that Christ was. Out of Him, no one was chosen to life. No one out of Him will be saved. This choice had nothing to do with who I am or what I would become. Nothing whatsoever but chosen in Christ as our head. And in that we see that my Father is greater than all. But now what about the time of the choosing? Well, it clearly states that it was before the foundation of the world. It was not an afterthought with God. It was not commenced in time. Now, that's what a lot of people think. The purpose was far back in the ages of eternity, and it is not a plan that's just been newly formed or changed with each coming generation. The plan was formed before the foundation of the world, and what we know is God has no new plan. That's why that my Father is greater than all. He forms no new schemes. He is not changing. You know how that some people even think they can pray and change God. Prayer don't change God. Prayer changes you. Prayer brings you to the place to where that you recognize that my Father is greater than all. And if we pray long enough, we finally pray down and said, "The Lord, whatever your will is." And His will was all along and stands all along. We didn't change His will. We didn't change His purpose. We didn't change God. But I tell you what it does do. It changes us. It brings us to the place to receive that my Father is greater than all and to receive the will of God. Amen. Haven't we all just recently experienced that? Well, certainly we have. If we could ascertain what is the plan of God at any time, we can ascertain what His eternal plan was with reference to the event. Listen to what Job said in Job 23:13. But he is in one mind. And who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. What he actually does, he always meant to do. Which is the doctrine of the eternal decrees of God. This is why his love for us is an everlasting love. Listen to Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying... Now notice the tense. Notice the tense. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. At this time Christ was set up, I believe, as head and representative of the chosen. That is before the foundation of the world. And in him was provisions for all the spiritual blessings that we're enjoying and receiving today. Even this conference. Everything that we would ever need, which proceeds according to this choice and preparation of a kingdom from them, for them from the foundation of the world and from the nature of God's decrees, which are eternal, no new will or act of God can arise in God. No new will or act or any decree be made by him which was not from eternity. So God's foreknowledge is eternal, and so is his decree. And Jesus said simply, my Father is greater than all. Now what is the end of this choice? I believe that he reveals his greatness in choosing. But what is the end of this choice? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what the end of this choice is. And the objects of it are not chosen because they were holy. And we must remember that. But that they might be partakers of the sanctification of the Spirit. And that we would be holy, sanctified by him here, and be perfectly holy hereafter. And it all can be traced to the love of God. It was love for us which promoted him to do it. I believe it's the highest expression of love to be ordained to eternal life. It is love on his part. Yes, my Father is greater than all. Is greater than all. But now he is not only greater than all because of choosing, but he is greater than all because of giving. You say, what do you mean? Well, he chose, but then he gave those chosen ones to the Son. Who else could do that? Who else could choose? You didn't choose him. He chose you. You couldn't give yourself to the Son. You couldn't do it. You still can't. But we find because of giving the chosen to the Son. I believe as we read here in this, my Father which gave them to me. And you'll notice who he's talking about here in this verse. He's talking about these sheep. Is greater than all. I've thought about, and Brother Henderson, I was thankful he touched on this. John 17, and then there in verse 2, he said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, and I preached this here last year, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, not only do we see the greatness of God in that he chose us, And that does denote the greatness of God. But after having chosen us in Christ Jesus, then those that He chose, He gave them as a gift of the Father to the Son. That way there won't be no mistaken identity. There's no confusion when it comes to salvation. There is no confusion on God's part as to who it is that He will be saved, that will be saved. And there, everyone that is sheep. They're everyone, every one of them is sheep. And so we see that the person's given to him as many as thou hast given him. So God has given a people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now I'm going to move right on. Because now I started to get up here first and say, well, it took me 6 weeks to preach this at home. But I thought I'd count Brother Hancock, but it only took me 45 minutes. At home, it only took me 45 minutes, and I'm just kidding and going on with you here. And I started to pray while Brother Henderson preaching, Lord, give me patience, and I thought I wasn't ready for tribulation. But anyway, my Father is greater than all, not only because of choosing, but also because of giving the chosen to the Son, but then because of giving the shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep. And I believe that if you'll notice, and a verse that's said so many times is John 3:16, where he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And even Jesus himself said here, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Who told him to do that? My Father, which is greater than all. So isn't it a marvelous thing that the great God, omnipotent God that he spoke of here, the great God of heaven, the great sovereign God of heaven, how that he chose a people, and then he gave those people the Son, and then he gave the Son to those people. To go to Calvary. And then he's not only great because of the choosing, or greater because of the choosing, and because of giving the chosen to the Son, and because of giving the good shepherd or the Son to lay down his life for the chosen, but he's also greater than all because of giving the gospel. Why preach the gospel? We've heard, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. Who believes? Sheep believe. And he goes on and he says, and how come? How come you can take a verse like 1 Thessalonians 1:5? Look at that verse. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Now I realize that I know that all of this is because that my Father is greater than all. But in 1 Thessalonians, and there in chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. And I know the verse before, but it says this in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. How come? Why? Because my Father is greater than all. Who gives the gospel? Who sends the gospel? Who makes the gospel powerful? It's not the preacher. It's not the missionary. It's not the church. It's God. But look here, you'll see it. For our gospel came not in you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Yeah. Why was, did the gospel come to you in power? Because my Father, which is greater than all, chose you before the foundation of the world, gave you to the Son, sent the Son to Calvary, and then and the Son at Calvary died for our sin, was buried, and rose again the third day, and then the same God that is greater, our Father that is greater than all, sent the gospel out. And the gospel came to you in word, but it came in not only in word, but it came in power, and it came in the Holy Spirit, and it came in much assurance. Why? Amen. Because my Father is greater than all. Amen. That's the reason, because that my Father is greater than all. Go to 2 Thessalonians and look there, and it all wraps it all up together there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, and Paul rejoiced like we rejoice. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God. Now notice, my Father, which is greater than all, to God for you, brethren. Now notice, beloved of the Lord, because my Father, which is greater than all, hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And then I said, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, wherein he called you by our, who? Where unto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this? Because my Father is greater than all. And I thought in the context, and when I preached this a couple of Sundays ago down at Olmsted Church, Lord, they laid this on my heart. And I thought about how we ought to rejoice. And how thankful we ought to be. But you know, I thought... And then I thought, well, I'm going to stay at the context. And I thought, no, I'm going to get out a little. Everybody else has. I'm going to get out a little. Because my Father is greater than all. It even pleases him at times to set his sheep in his church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 18.
Amen.
Now you try to do this and see where you'll get.
Yeah. That's right.
Now all of us have. All of us preachers have.
Yeah.
And you know what we have gotten too, don't you?
Yeah,
yeah, that's right, brother. Born. First Corinthians 12 and verse 18 says this. But now hath my Father, which is greater than all. And we said, you know, you receive something every week now, how to build your Sunday school, how to add memories to your church. Just try it. I'm not encouraging you, but you just try it and see what happens. You'll have more trouble than you can shake a stick at. You may have a large crowd. You may have large numbers. But he said, but now hath God set the members, every one of the bodies that please, hath pleased him.
Amen.
You know, we can get discouraged. And about 2 months ago, on Wednesday night, I was preaching along the Holy Spirit, and God gloriously saved a young lady in our church. We'd been talking to her for a year and a half, and she was just a young lady, just a small young lady, a child, and we'd been witness to her. I'd witnessed to her. Her mother witnessed to her. And you know how it is. And you know, you can just give a child the scriptures, and you know, innocently, just like that, they'll say, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and you give them something to read in the scriptures, and they'll read it, and you know, and you know, they act just like, you know, that they've always known it, and it's just... great. And so the discussion went on for about a year and a half, and she asked her mother, said, how in the world, said, how are you going to know, said, y'all talk about being saved, how are you going to know when you're saved? And her mother said, you'll know it. So this was a year and a half gone by, and so there, and I'm saying this because my Father's greater than all. This is the reason I'm saying this. And so there, one Wednesday night, you know, he's supposed to be on prayer. Nobody saved on Wednesday night on prayer meeting. And so there you are, you know, as far as a lot of people think, you know, it's a small crowd. You know, well, not a small crowd. But you know how it is. You got your church there is usually what is on Wednesday night. Your church is there. And so preaching hello, and the young lady pulled her mama's dress and said, I know it. Now, what I could have done and what you could have done, we could have got her to went through some kind of a rigmarole. We could have got her to join a church. We could have baptized her. But what you got to remember is my Father is greater than all. And then it wasn't. And you know, Lord pours so much out on you, sometimes you can't hardly receive it all at one time. And then it wasn't, but about a week later, and my wife and I were sitting at the table on Saturday, and we were eating, and I had them old brown beans, you know, and that cornbread, and made out of cornmeal, you know, and I had them brown beans and all. The doorbell rang, and that little old poodle went, you know, going on, and my wife courteously, very generously, got up, and she went to the door, and I sat at the table and just putting them beans in. And she came back and said, I think you better come in here and talk to this gentleman. And I said, okay. And so I went in and with my bibbed overhauls on, you know. See, I wear bibbed overhauls at home. I'm a country fella. My bibbed overhauls and went in, and there's this fella that had come in here. And now I'm what I'm talking about is my Father's greater than all. Now that's what I'm going to tell you. I'm not off chasing something. And so I went in there, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. And he said, you know anything about this church next door? I said, I believe I do. I said, I've been hanging around here for 22 years. He said, oh, you're the pastor? I said, yeah, I'm the pastor. He said, we've been looking for this church for 6 months. You know, people said, oh, they're not going to come. You're not going to get them to come. You know, something like that. I don't believe that. I believe my Father is greater than all. And so he said, I've been going to this other church, and said, now get this, the preacher's wife's mother-in-law told us this would be a good church for us to come to. Said, we were dissatisfied with what was going on, all old gimmicks, and we was fed up with Jack Hiles up to here. Said we'd had it with all of that Arminianism and all that free willism. Said we'd had it up to here. And he said, and we're looking for a church that believes a Baptist bride. And I said, that's us. And God added them. They just live 17 miles in Tennessee. I'd never seen them before, never laid my eyes on them. But I want to tell you tonight, my Father is greater than all.
Amen.
And the Lord added them to our church. Wouldn't take the baptism, baptized the daughter. And then God gloriously, and you say, do you believe all this stuff you're preaching that you can be evangelistic and you'll see people say, well, certainly.
Amen.
If you really believe this, your church will grow,
yes,
you'll be evangelistic, and you'll see people saved
Amen.
By the grace of God, and you won't be afraid to witness.
Amen.
And so then, a man that had been coming for about 10 years, we was having a revival meeting. Before we ever preached the first sermon on Monday night, he came into me and then said, oh, Brother Harvey, said, Lord, save me just an hour ago.
I was worse than Brother Titus. I couldn't think to do anything. You know. I was so confused that service that night. And went out to preach. And at the end of that, he came forth. He told the church that the Lord had saved him. And I said, "Brother, how long has it been?" He said, "How long have you been here?" He said, 10 years. When I met him, I was in the hospital witness to a man that was saved by the grace of God. Never was able to be baptized. I was witnessing that man, and here was the son-in-law of that man, and he was there, and he heard what I was saying, and he called me out in the hall, and he was ready to commit suicide and ready to kill himself. And then he came, and you know how it'd be. He'd come a while, and he would not come a while, and then he would come a while and not come a while. But then God finally arrested him.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
And you know why that happened? It's because that my Father is greater than all. And then we went on through the week, and then on Friday night, before the service, I was expecting anything to happen, because my Father is greater than all, and I couldn't even begin to imagine what he could do. I can't imagine that he chose the people, and I can't even begin to imagine that he gave all those people to Christ, and I can't even begin to imagine that he sent Christ to Calvary to die for every one of them, and then he sends the gospel to them, and it comes not in word, but it comes in power, and he saves every one of them. On Friday night, my grandson's wife came up to me and said, "Brother Harvey," said, "I've been talking to Frank." That's her husband. Said, "Lord saved me last night in the service." And said, "Frank said, go talk to Papa." Said, "Go talk to Papa." That's my grandson. That's the mother of those twins I've been showing everybody. That's my great-grandchildren. God gloriously saved her. That girl at 12 years old turned her mother in for drugs. Brought her not only out of physical poverty, but he brought her out of spiritual poverty. And I put my arm around her and I told her this. I said, "Honey, we're so glad that God put you in our family." And I said, "Not only because we can love you and what we can do for you materially, but what God has done for you spiritually."
Amen.
I was able to baptize these and all of this. And I can't begin to feel like Jesus did here. I can't begin to fathom the depths. But through this conference and all, I have been able to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and to feel some of the things, and just to be able to say here tonight, praise God, my Father is greater than all.
Amen.